So an interesting Mesha Chachma, Parshas Ekev. Not as much about the Parsha per se, there was a little bit of an analysis of the literary flow and the textual flow. But he's discussing brachos. And brachos is a very very intriguing halachic situation, because it enervates the totality of the halachic system. Chazal speak about the mitzvah of mea brachos bayom, so imagine reciting 100 brachos, and if you tabulate them, you reach 100, and that's why Shabbos Yom Kippur, there's a question of how to reach the 100. And Amen, and saying Amen is a great way to compensate for the brachos, the shortened and abridged Shmoneh Esreis, or the lack of eating. And it's clearly a pivot for religious identity, because you're always reciting brachos. You can either recite them mindlessly and thoughtlessly, or not at all, or with some care and some intention, and yet the totality of brachos are midrabanan. The only two brachos that have biblical origin that are midaraisa are Birchas HaMazon, Parshas Ekev, and Birchas HaTorah, which is derived from a different pasuk later in Sefer Dvarim, Ki Shem Hashem Ekro V'Godel Elokeinu. So the phenomena is very atypical, it's very unusual, that an experience so central to religious practice, and by extension to religious identity, should be so almost absent, or I don't say absent, but camouflaged or minimized in the actual Torah. Then Chazal amplify it by creating an entire world of brachos, which is centered on Maseches Brachos primarily. And the Gemara is aware of the possibility to maybe stretch the brachos, at least in-house. So for example, Birchas HaMazon is D'oraisa. Perhaps we can infer from Birchas HaMazon being D'oraisa that maybe a person should recite a bracha before eating. As the Gemara says, Kishuhu Saveh Mevarech, Kishuhu Raiv Lokol Shekin. If you recite a bracha when you're full, when you're satiated, after a meal, shouldn't the logic of Kal V'chomer, which is so inherent to Torah, it's not even an exegetical device. It's just calculus. Something is less chum or less, or what is it, less chum or is lighter or is more severe. So you could extend the halachos from the lighter area to the more severe area just by intuition, by halacha calculus. So if the Torah prescribes a bracha after eating, when you're full and satiated, certainly you should recite a bracha when you're hungry. Yeah, that fails, and in the end, the bracha lefanav, bracha rishon, as we say, is only midrabanan. Or similarly, a different gemara in brachos tries to extend the logic of Birchas HaMazon to Birchas HaTorah. That if you recite a bracha after eating food, which is only chayei shah, which is only temporal and transient, you should certainly recite a bracha after learning Torah, and therefore there should be a bracha after the study of Torah, which of course we don't have, save for Kriyas HaTorah, where there's a bracha after you recite the Torah. So the Mesha Chachma tries to delve into this logic. Why did the Gemara think? What was the ambition? What was the plan of the Gemara to extend the logic of Birchas HaMazon to Birchas HaTorah? Why does it fail? What is Birchas HaTorah? And how to explain the phenomena that when we learn Torah, the bracha that is deraisa is specifically before we study Torah, and there's no bracha after we study Torah. Yet when we consume food, the bracha min haTorah is after we eat the food, and the bracha before eating food, which does exist, is only midrabanan. So the Mesha Chachma claims that had the logic, and this is, it's fascinating amidst the backdrop of the logic or the lamdas of brachos, because the Gemara has an entire catalog of brachos, not just Birchas HaTorah, and not just Birchas HaMazon, or as we call it, Birchas HaNenin, the bracha recited before you eat. There's Birchas HaReach, Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaShevach, several other types of brachos that pop up or appear in Shas. And the Rishonim are somewhat sensitive to trying to define them. What are we trying to accomplish halachically with a bracha? Is it a Shevach? Is it a Matir, for example? Does the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei suggest about a Birchas HaNenin that before you recite a Shahakol, you're not authorized to get Hanah from something which you don't own? HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem Ve'aretz Atzav Le'Adam, that Hashem only delivers utility in this world after you authorize it and receive license through reciting a bracha. So the landscape of Rishonim and Achronim is covered with attempts to try to define brachos, and this is part of it. This Mesha Chachma should be considered as part of it. So Mesha Chachma says, had the simple logic for brachos been true, then all these extensions would have been more compelling. The simple logic of brachos is thanking Hashem for, fill in the blanks. Thanking Hashem, this is what we would call a birchas HaShevach. Thanking Hashem for food, thanking Hashem for Torah, thanking Hashem for anes, thanking Hashem for maybe even mitzvos, thanking Hashem for delivering mitzvos. This is what we would call a birchas HaShevach. He doesn't use that language, but it's latent or nascent in his discussion. And if that were the primary or the controlling logic, remember, brachas could be multi-layered experiences, but if that were the primary trigger, the primary obligator, the primary catalyst for a bracha, then all these suggestions in the Gemara would be very compelling. Look, if you thank Hashem before you eat, you should certainly thank Hashem, after you eat, you should certainly thank Hashem before you eat for delivering the food. Or if you thank Hashem for receiving food, you should certainly thank Hashem for receiving eternity, the eternity which Torah provides. So had a bracha, in general, been an attempt to, or if it functions halachically, as an attempt to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, again, fill in the blanks, food, Torah, then the suggestions of the Gemara would have been accepted. The fact that they're rejected indicates that there may be unique functions to the bracha upon food, and that unique function, A, determines that it's not extendable to Torah, and B, that it's not extendable to a bracha rishona. You can't say, well, since the Torah obligates a bracha rishona, let's derive through logic, kal v'chomer, there's a bracha rishona. I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. Since the Torah demands a bracha rishona, let's extend through logic a bracha rishona. And by extension, or in the same vein, the flip side, there's a unique function to bracha Torah, which doesn't allow it to be extended backwards to food. So, the bracha on food, Meshech Chachma claims, is a hedge. What is it a hedge against? It's a hedge against the dangers in the parsha. The danger in Parshas Ekev is the danger, A, of Avodah Zarah. There's a section of Avodah Zarah similar, a little bit different to the section of the worry of Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah of encountering foreign cultures. Veschan is a little more theological, Avodah Zarah. In Ekev is a little more cultural, you'll be exposed to different cultures. Either way, there's a concern of Avodah Zarah. But the concern that Moshe introduces primarily in Ekev is Pen tishkach hasadvarim v'ram levavach v'shachachta kol chiviyatzim yadi yaseh yisachay lezeh batim meleim kol tuvat shalova nisa baros shalo chatzavta. Material success in Eretz Yisrael will bring with it a slow disengagement, a slow disentangling from religion. And Moshe is concerned about one of two issues. One is the arrogance, the cockiness, the self-contentment. It gets to your head. Success inflates your ego. You start to feel empowered. People who are empowered are less dependent upon Hashem. That's the kochi v'yotzi v'yadi asali esachayel azeh. There's another concern, which is highlighted a little bit later in Hazinu as well, by Yishman Yishurun v'yivad, where people don't let material success, financial success, personal success, get to their head, swell their ego, replace Hashem. We no longer need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just the spirit of idealism, the passion for religion, the commitment to a life of ideas and to sanctity is displaced by just a world that's more comfortable, more padded, more materialistic, which I think is really one of the challenges of our world. I'm not sure, certainly in the post-corona world, that the concern of kochi v'yotz v'yadi and arrogance and cockiness, we've all been brought to our knees. We've all been humbled. But it's more we live just in a world of food, comfort, machines, travel, leisure, entertainment. And that's not a world that's conducive for spiritual drive, religious passion, study, observance, obedience. That seems to be the larger concern. Now, this concern is felt most poignantly after a person eats. After a person eats, stomach is full. Just think about the last time you were hungry and the last time you were full. Just what your mood was like, what your orientation was like. I sometimes ask the boys in Shir right before lunch just to capture that moment before lunch, because our natural instinct is to run for food. But if we just catch ourselves and stop, we're in a moment of greater spiritual awareness. We're lighter on our feet. We're not digesting. It's after Yom Kippur, if you have the strength to feel it, it's an even more powerful feeling. It's a more spiritually aware, not just spiritually aware, but existentially active and aware moment. Right now I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in a while. Sunday morning I'm driving to deliver a shiur to the ancestors. Why I call it. I haven't eaten since, I think, Shal Shudas. It's been about 12 hours. I just feel more spiritually alive. I'm weighted down by the food in my stomach. So after we eat, there's a feeling of contentment that could induce or can seduce us into this moment of forgetfulness. And Birchas HaMazon is a hedge to return us to the world of spirituality. And that's why in Parshas Ekev there's a juxtaposition between Birchas HaMazon and all these worries of Moshe of forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Rav Levavecha V'Shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. So this is actually a very novel view of brachas. I haven't heard this before, that a bracha serves as a retrieval into a world of spirituality, specifically at a moment of great vulnerability and great worry or hazard, that you'll sink into just contentment, and contentment will lead you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an interesting Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin on Daf Dalet says that Kohanim, when they're eating korbanos, or chayiv and zimot, it's not exactly about a bracha, but for argument's sake, just for the point of the Meshech Chachma, and he raises this Gemara, obviously, is that they're chayiv and zimot. The Gemara says, why would you think that Kohanim are pater from zimot, or pater from a bracha? So he claims that pater b'rachas HaMazon. So the Gemara claims, because since they're involved in a korban, which is kapara, maybe they're not chayiv and zimot. They're eating a meal of kapara. Why is the experience of kapara the antithesis or the antonym of Birchas HaMazon? Or it doesn't clarify. The Meshech Chachma, this is consistent with this position. The entire purpose of Birchas HaMazon is to retrieve us from a dangerous world of self-indulgement, of eating, of consumption, of material experience, and return us to a state or a mentality of spirituality. When the entire purpose, the entire function of the meal is to achieve kapara, as the Gemara says, Kohanim ochlim b'ayla miskaparim, at some level, obviously, achilas ha-korban is not ma'akev. If the korban decide not to eat the korban is still effective. But at some point, there is some function which is traced to the korban, which is traced to kapara, whether kapara per se or other types of achilas, which achieve parallel halachic functions, korban torah, korban shlamim. So you would think that the retrieval mechanism is less vital, is less necessary, because from the get-go, the experience isn't self-indulgent, isn't physical, isn't one that can generate or invite forgetfulness. And therefore, the Gemara Zahavamina, then maybe Kohanim should not be Chayvin Zimon / Birchas HaMazon. Now, what about the bracha upon Tara? How is that different? So, the Meshech Chachma feels that the bracha on Tara, again, Minat Tara, is specifically before you study Tara, because the bracha for Torah is preventing a different danger. So if there's one common denominator, one theme alert for this entire Meshech Chachma, is that brachas serve to set moods that are absolutely vital to protect against more dangerous moods or orientation. So the mood or orientation that's dangerous after eating is contentment and satisfaction. The mood or orientation and therefore the primary bracha, Minatara at least, is the Birchas HaMazon, after you're content. Whereas the mood, or the orientation, or the attitude that's dangerous when you study Torah is particularly hazardous before you study Torah. Why? Well, what's the mood? The danger of Torah study is that it's intellectual, that it's interesting, that it's intriguing. Classic danger of Torah, and worse, that you'll study Torah for self-aggrandizing purposes, lekan derbo, for profit, you'll prostitute Torah, you'll corrupt Torah. These are primarily encountered before you study Torah, as you enter the field of Torah study. I was reading Nefesh HaChaim yesterday with my son. We were learning a little bit over Shabbos, and his primary agenda is to direct people's attention away from the study of Musar and away from the study of Hasidus, and remind them that the core of Torah study is halacha, is studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, halacha, or at least text of Torah, halacha, Tanakh, but certainly not studying about how to be a better person, or studying about the Pnimius of Torah. But even the Nefesh HaChaim is aware that before you study Torah, it's necessary to set the mood, to frame the experience as one of Yirah Shamayim, called Shiraso, called Demis L'Chachmaso, Chachmaso Miskayemis. So therefore he does, even the Nefesh HaChaim, even B'chaim V'lajana, endorses spending a little bit of time studying Yirah Shamayim, proper Musar, before you enter the experience of Talmud Torah. So it's that moment when you enter Torah, we enter the experience that has to be checked, that has to be inspected, that has to be calibrated properly. And therefore, a bracha is recited before the study of Torah. Once you study Torah, once you're engaged with the Dvar Hashem, once the Shechina arrives, kala lamitar Shechina kinegdo, you're on safer ground. Presumably, or at least if the bracha was recited before Torah was studied and even a minimum attitude was adjusted, then once Torah descends into your world, once you engage with the study of Torah, then presumably some of these dangers will be less threatening, because the purity of Torah, the catharsis of Torah, the spiritual uplifting of Torah, the rendezvous with Hashem that Torah enables and mediates, will purify, will protect against some of these corrupting or adulterating attitudes. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed the bracha before learning Torah, not afterwards. The moment after you study Torah is relatively safer. The moment before is more hazardous. Regarding food, the danger is not corruption for personal interest, but contentment that will lead to forgetting. That's something which is particularly acute after you eat, not so much before you eat. This accounts, A, for the fact that the Torah prescribes a bracha before Torah, but not after, and after eating, but not before. Bracha Rishona, before eating, is Ali Midrabanan. And it also accounts for the Gemara's failed attempts to stretch Birchas HaMazon to food, and Birchas HaMazon to Torah, and Birchas HaTorah to food, because they're two very, very different functions, and there's no compatibility between the two, and the Kal V'chomer, of course, fails. It's an interesting Meshech Chachma about how we process Birchas HaMazon, and respectively how we process Birchas HaTorah.